National Geographic is reporting that there is a daring medical rescue underway at the South Pole. As they describe it, one of the most remote and dangerous places on the planet Earth.
Mm. Isn't it supposed to be hot there?
What?
I mean, the North Pole's cold, South Pole's hot.
They say this time of year, temperatures can sink below minus 100 degrees.
I was like the Dalai Lama when Bret Baier asked him last week, have you ever seen Caddyshack? I'm like, what?
What?
What? Violetta, what?
I don't know. I just thought that'd make sense.
No. Doesn't make sense.
Okay, so it's really cold there and the North Pole.
What grade are you in?
What?
All right. This is an employee of Lockheed Martin, a government contractor in Antarctica, suffered a serious medical condition requiring a risky evac from the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station, a scientific research base at 90 degrees south. That seems pretty far to me.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like that's like, you know, that's bad. 90 degrees.
Terrible.
The temperature right now, because this is the first day of winter down there, is hovering around negative 76. Plus, you get storms at any given moment. Peter West is with us, and Peter is a polar outreach program manager for the National Science Foundation and can explain exactly what's going on here. Peter, first of all, do we know anything about the condition of the person who has fallen ill?
So, yeah, we are not going to be talking about personal details or medical details, just for maintain the person's privacy, just as anybody would ask. Yeah.
But obviously it's significant enough that they have to risk life and equipment to get to this person.
It is, yes. It's certainly a serious situation, and it's not a decision we took lightly, exactly.
Who would be part of this rescue mission? How many people are you talking, and what are their roles?
Right. So, it depends on how you look at that, but there are two very small planes flying down now. They're at a British base at Rothera, waiting to go to the South Pole. Each of those planes has four people aboard, pilot, co-pilot, engineer, and a medical person. But there are people literally all over the globe who are supporting this mission, from weather folks to you name it, because it takes a lot to do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine the logistics on something like this got to be, because you're threading a needle, right? Isn't that the problem?
Yeah, you're flying, they will be flying, an airplane, a very small airplane, twin engine, across a continent the size of the U.S. and Mexico combined. It's several months of darkness now, so it's totally dark, and it's, as you said, very, very cold.
Now, what kind of equipment do they need to do that? Because a standard aircraft wouldn't be able to sustain the... It's one thing to fly at altitude. It's a whole other thing to try to land a plane where it's close to 80 degrees below zero, right?
Yep. No, exactly. And these are relatively small planes, but they're flown a lot in the north by Ken Borick Air, which is the company that has, the contract with the U.S. government to do this flying. They can fly in temperatures as low as minus 75. And they will be flying on skis. One of the things that they're doing right now when they're stopped at the British base waiting for weather is switching over and putting skis on the plane so they can land in the snow and ice at the South Pole.
What kind of engines are they? Are they propeller engines? Are they jet engines?
Yeah, they are propeller-driven. I don't know if they're turboprops or not, but yeah, they're definitely propeller-driven planes.
Right, and it's special kind of fuel that they have to use, or fuel line, so they don't freeze?
Well, the fuel needs to be at a certain temperature, so believe it or not, they're going to have to do what's called warming the fuel at the South Pole to about in the mid-60s or so to get it through the fuel lines. They have to warm the planes and warm the fuel to get them out of there.
How do you warm fuel?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I know it needs to be done very carefully, I assume, would be the one answer.
Right, I'm nowhere near it.
Yeah, you want it. Not with an open flame, I would be my guess.
I'm just reading that it's the third time they've even attempted to do an evacuation during these dark winter months, and it's extremely harrowing, as you're describing. They said you only have 12 or 13 hours of fuel on board, and it's a 10-hour flight. That doesn't leave much for the margin of error.
There are a lot of challenges to this. So, yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what is the greatest, at least at this point, if you're looking at the threat matrix here, you're looking at the things that they have to be most worried about at this time, what would it be?
I don't know, and I'd have to ask the pilots that. They're used to flying in Antarctica because they fly for us in the summer in Antarctica and in the Arctic in the winter. So they're used to the conditions, but, again, this has not been attempted before at this time of year in the winter in Antarctica. So I'm sure I would hate to pick one, just one factor. It's cold, it's dark, and there is the weather to contend with.
Right, storms.
Different from the cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, to get in and get out, when did this arise that you knew that you needed it? How long has this been?
The actual medical flight was launched on the 14th. And I think the decision was made, because it takes time to assemble all this, a day or two in advance of that.
Wow. Mm. So this is it's taken a week to get to this point.
And, right.
And so, right. And now they are where they are at sort of a base station. How far are they from where they have to get?
Roughly 1,500 miles from Rothera to South Pole.
Okay.
And you said there are two planes. The second plane is to assist the first plane in case they get into trouble, or what's the role of the different
ones? Exactly. So the first plane, a plane, one of the two will fly and do the actual mission. The other, and this is fairly standard in these kinds of things, is a search and rescue plane in case it's needed, in case, which we hope it won't be, but it's prudent to have it on hand.
Oh, right. Right. And these are people, obviously, as you're pointing out, that have done this kind of work before, that this is what they do professionally, and it must be comforting to family members and the people of, you know, who know this individual that is being rescued, that this is being mounted, and obviously would have to be very serious. There were cases of this before. There's wasn't there a medical, I think it was the only physician
it was
at the South Pole, right, who herself had become ill and had to be rescued under similar circumstances, right?
That is correct. Yeah, actually, was here for that. That was in 1999. That was Dr. Nielsen. She came out at a different time of year, so each of these situations is entirely different. And actually, she came out on a military transport plane. She came out in October of the year. But yes, she was at Pole. She was the physician, and she did have to treat herself for her condition.
Yeah, that was harrowing. There's books about that. That was a very harrowing thing. All right. Well, obviously, we wish you the best. And when will we know the success of this?
Difficult to say, because as we talked about, the weather is very changeable. So I wouldn't want to speculate on that. They will go when they can go and fly safely, and we're balancing the health of the patient. Health of the patient and the safety of the air crews.
Right. And so when they get there, the idea though is they get there, they land, and they secure the patient and take right back off. Right.
That's the window. No, they will spend some time on the ground because they need to refuel. They need to rest. All those things. So it will be a relatively long evolution, 10 hours there, 10 hours back, and some time on the ground to get the aircraft ready to come back.
Wow. All right.
Boy.
Well, best of luck to your team, Peter.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for joining
you very much.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah. What a story
can
that
imagine.
Is.